Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. We're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg this afternoon. Bob, Kelly, and Dima, all glad to be with you to wrap up this first week of the new year, Super Talk Eagle Hour. Great show today. We've got Athletics Director Jeremy McClain about to join us here, and always grateful for Jeremy's time, and we'll be reviewing some other stuff afterwards. But first, we want to get right to our interview with Jeremy. And first of all, thank you for coming on again. Happy New Year to you, and we always appreciate your time, Jeremy.
You bet. Appreciate you guys having me. Happy New Year to you guys.
Okay, so we were discussing this earlier this week, and I'm sure that you are anxious to hear what three guys like this think. No, seriously, Jeremy, we were talking about the biggest challenges of 2026, and so what we think is really obviously not important at all, but what you think is very important. So I'm going to start out today's interview with you by asking you, what do you think Jeremy McClain thinks will be the biggest challenges you as the AD will face here in the new year?
Yeah, you know, great question. I think some of the challenges of 26 will be similar to 25. I think for us, it's what we've seen probably in the last 18 months continuing to create challenges for us. And that is, you know, we've added some expenses to what we're doing, and specifically as we think about rev share and creating a budget to support that, to allow us to remain competitive and do the things we want to do, on top of all the other challenges, you know, we face from a budget standpoint, and trying to make sure that we do all the things we need to do operationally, that we hire the right coaches, that we can pay them the right amounts, that we specifically continue to improve our facilities as we simultaneously raise rev share dollars. I think that is the greatest challenge for us right now on kind of a big scale. You know, if you look at the big picture for us, you know, we're trying to figure out ways to make sure that we can do multiple things at the same time, specifically when it comes to fundraising, supporting rev share, improving facilities, and continuing to support the day-to-day operations of the department. That's the greatest challenge for us right now. And one of the ways we've tried to attack that is by trying to tap into new revenue streams and try to think outside the box and try to create opportunities for ourselves that didn't exist in the past. And so I think, you know, big picture wise, that is the greatest challenge for us right now, making sure our coaches have everything they need, and that we support them financially the way we need to for them to be successful.
Is this becoming more and more difficult every year for schools the size of Southern Miss, Jeremy?
I think it's difficult for everyone, quite honestly. I don't think it's, you know, I don't know that there's a, certainly schools that are, their budget's $150 to $200 million, you know, it's a little bit easier to manage, but I do think it creates challenges for everyone. I think for if we're talking about budgets from $30 million to $50 million, I think that's where it gets really difficult for a lot of us. Again, you know, we're adding several million dollars in expenses to budgets that were already tight, budgets that were already, we were already trying to be creative and growing our budgets. And so, yeah, I think that that group of schools that is, you know, 30 to 50 million, 30 to 60 million are the ones that are getting squeezed the hardest, just because if you think about, you know, a business, if you think about the percentage of dollars that, you know, you're adding to the expense line, it just, you know, that is what has become difficult. So, yeah, I think to answer your question, schools our size from a budget standpoint is probably a tougher squeeze than it is for some of the larger schools.
Jeremy, how expensive is it to pay for a competitive Group of Five football team?
Well, I think it depends on what league you're in. You know, it's there are probably some institutions that are getting away with spending, you know, $500,000 or $600,000. There are some that are spending $10 million, $12 million, $15 million, and so that's a wide gap. You know, I would say in the Sun Belt, and I don't have everyone's numbers, and probably wouldn't share them specifically if I did. Mm-hmm. But I think it's anywhere from, you know, $500,000 to probably $3-3.5 million. So it's still a pretty good gap, even within, you know, the league. And so people approach that differently. It doesn't look, you know, spending more dollars doesn't always equate to success. And so you got to be really smart about how you spend those dollars too. But if you think about that in football and you begin to add men's basketball and women's basketball and baseball and whatever sports you may be supporting through RevShare, you know, that number begins to add up pretty quickly.
Right. Now I want to ask about Reed Green Coliseum. Here I go, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Talking about facilities and all that sorts of things. What's the latest?
It hasn't changed since last time I talked to you guys. We should see construction fence going up, I would think, by the end of the month. We've got meetings weekly, and so we're continuing to work through fine-tuning details. But we'll see activity this month and this spring. As you know, I think I've mentioned to you guys earlier, we'll start on the south side of the building. They'll start doing some dirt work and things during the season and trying to prepare. And then when the season's over, when commencement finishes, probably in May, they'll move inside the building and start some work there too. We'll actually shut down Reed Green during the summer, so our teams will have to be a little creative in how we practice during the summer and ask for some favors from some people in the community and in the area to get our work in. But we'll have to shut down Reed Green entirely throughout the summer, probably well into you know, September, when we start getting ready for the next following season. So yeah, everything's moving forward. None of that's changed. You know, it's still, as I've told you guys before, it's about a $42 million project. You know, and like any project, you're trying to squeeze all you can out of whatever that budget is, and so we're certainly trying to do that and you know, have fine-tuned some things, but haven't made any significant changes to kind of what our initial plan was. And so we're excited about getting that started, but should see activity. You know, I think you'll see activity this month throughout the spring that will ramp up as we move forward.
Let's talk a little bit about football now. It was documented, of course, that Louisiana Tech now in the league. So that game with the Bulldogs is a conference game now in 2026. And there was kind of getting word that there might be a replacement on the horizon, maybe from the West Coast. Can you bring us up to date on the scheduling situation?
Well, don't believe everything you hear, Kelly.
Okay, cool. Cool.
So, number one, Louisiana Tech's not in the league yet. So they've still got work to do. They're working, going through the process with Conference USA. So that has not been finalized. We do, if they join the league, we will have an opening, obviously, home game. We are working with several people on that solution to that to make sure that we get the 6 home games. And, you know, we'll start another home and home with most likely a Group of 5 institution. So we have several things we're working on there. Nothing finalized. And, you know, we're kind of waiting on all that to get wrapped up with Louisiana Tech. While in the meantime, negotiating some opportunities. And obviously, as you would imagine, there aren't a lot of opportunities out there,
right?
You know,
right.
8 months out. But we do have a few irons in the fire. Feel good about getting that done here pretty soon.
Have you ever thought, Jeremy, about, not like you don't have other things to worry about, but downsizing MM Roberts Stadium? Is that on the discussion board anywhere?
It's really not. You know, depends on what you mean by downsizing. I'm certainly, you know, we've had discussions about, tarping part of the upper deck. You know, I've had people ask me that question, let's put it that way.
Okay.
I certainly think, you know, on certain dates that would make a lot of sense. But, you know, on certain games, we had 2 games last year where, you know, we weren't 100% capacity, but we were really full. And so so that's really not on the docket as far as quote-unquote downsizing. There might be an opportunity for us to be creative in the future to try to consolidate some areas, yeah. but not an investment of significant capital dollars to downsize. I don't think that makes sense for us.
All right, we're talking to Athletics Director Jeremy McClain. Jeremy, can you stick around one more segment with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, then. We look forward to continuing that conversation on the other side of the break. And as we head into the break, remind you about Dickey's Barbecue Pit. They're sponsoring this segment of the program. It's a great place for a weekend meal with your family or a great place to cater your next event. They do a fabulous job catering at Dickey's Barbecue. So if you have an event coming up, be sure that you keep Dickey's in mind. And as we head to the break, Forest Health reminds you that it's the new year. It's time to get a physical and make sure you take care of the most important player on your team, and that's you. Get that physical today. Talk to your doctors about a good diet, an exercise program, all the things that you can do to make 2026 a healthy year for you. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. And my word, are we so fortunate to have Forest Health here in our community. More to come with Athletics Director Jeremy McClain. Other side of the break, you're tuned into the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment. They're on Highway 98 West. Former star Matt Warren invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products. Full service auto and truck service is all at Eagle Tire West next to Smith Motor Company. Eagle Tire West, big Southern Miss supporters, family owned and operated since 1985. Jeremy McClain is on the show with us. And Jeremy, we say this often, but this is very true. You never ask us what we're about to ask you when you come on the show, and we're grateful to that. So I'm going to ask you now kind of a tough
question. Should I be nervous?
No, no, I don't think you should be nervous.
Okay.
No, no, no. But I just wonder, when you look back at the last year, you know, you brought Charles Huff in, and by all accounts, it was just a home run hire. Everybody really felt great about it. Of course, he leaves. Now you have Blake Anderson in place. It's a familiar face to all of us. And I think everybody that follows Southern Miss football feels good about Coach Anderson. I think I speak for a lot of people being here.
Yeah.
When you look back at everything that happened, do you have any regrets about bringing Coach Huff here?
None. No. Okay. You know, the year with him was really good in a lot of ways. I think, you know, he did exactly what we asked him to do. That was to come in and kind of get this thing turned in the right direction. I certainly was hoping, you know, I knew if he had success that people would come calling because mm-hmm. he had already had success at another place.
Mm-hmm.
So that certainly was not a surprise. You know, I would love for it to have been 2 or 3 years, but we don't get to control all of that. We don't get to control when jobs come open. You know, this year was a really, from a volume standpoint of jobs open, it was, you know, just an unusual year. And so mm-hmm. So we don't get to control all that. Zero regrets, other than, hey, if I could fix anything, I would like for Braylon not to get hurt and, mm-hmm. and you know, and us to finish the end of the year a little bit stronger. But it was a really good year in a lot of different ways. I think if all of us kind of, you know, I'll use the term suffered. I certainly felt that way sometimes. We suffered through some really difficult years last couple of years. And so to get back to the place where you're really disappointed mm-hmm. when you lose a game and an opportunity to compete for a conference championship, right? And so right. we want to be in that situation where the expectation is what it is, and we're winning, and we're in a position to compete for championships. And so I think Charles Huff did exactly what we asked him to do. He and I had a really good relationship. He left on good terms, was very transparent. And so zero regrets about any of that. And certainly, you know, as you mentioned, Blake, I said this, you know, in the press conference, and I'll say it again. This situation was when we began to look at candidates for this job, we really dug into it, and it became pretty evident pretty quickly that there wasn't anyone whose resume and experience stacked up to what Blake could bring to the table. I think some people felt like just because he was in the building, he was going to be the next coach. Well, it really wasn't about that. It was about what he brought to the table, what he had done from a resume standpoint, and it wasn't even close when we began to compare him to other potential candidates for us.
He has a big job in front of him now, though, does he not, in rebuilding the program? From the loss of players is what I mean by that.
Yeah, he does. You know, when you talk about graduating 30-plus guys or, you know, them exhausting their eligibility, then you're going to lose another 20 or 25 or more, you know, in the portal. And so we're kind of back to where, all right, we're going to have 50-plus new faces, you know, in this building. And, you know, that is a challenge always because just adding, you know, that volume of players in a short period of time is going to create challenges. But I will tell you that our guys haven't blinked. They have been, you know, been up here working from 6 a.m. to midnight every day since we got back from the bowl game. And we've had recruits in nonstop, you know, since the portal opened on the 2nd. And we've gotten several quality commitments. I think they've got a great plan about how they want to build this roster out. You know, and the portal works both ways. I think people get frustrated when young men choose to get in the portal and go see what other opportunities exist. And we lose a good player, but it works both ways. There are really good players in the portal who want the opportunity to play. And so their job as coaches and our job as administrators is to select the right people, put the right people in our building, and then bring them together as a team as quickly as we can. And that's the world we live in today. And so our guys are up for the challenge, and we're here to support them. I'm really excited about the way it started for us.
Jeremy, basketball question for you. There's so much talk about football, transfer portal, NIL with football. I mean, I think it's almost equally as bad for the group of five teams in basketball.
Yeah.
And you're playing all this time. I mean, great win last night by the men's team. You know, the women's team starting off so well. But it just all comes down to one game. I mean, one tournament in March. I mean, is there any fix to it?
Well, I don't know if there's a fix to that right now, you know, as far as access the NCAA tournament. It's gotten, you know, unless we choose to expand the tournament and create more opportunities, I'm not sure that helps us as a league at the moment. We certainly are working kind of nonstop to figure out ways to improve, you know, our basketball opportunities as a league. You know, we have a ton of conversation about that. The reality is right now there's not a lot of – most leagues are going to be one-bid leagues. It just is what it is right now. And then there's going to be a group of leagues that are going to send multiple teams. And so I think it is a challenge, certainly, especially when you live in, you know, in this portal era where you've got a lot of new faces each year. So our focus has been to try to get to a place, and I think we're seeing it on the men's side. You've got a lot of new faces. You know, Jay played a lot of guys early in the year, probably lost a couple of games we shouldn't have had we been a little bit – had more time under our belt. But now we're seeing them begin to play a little bit more as a team, begin to create some identity. And so what you want is to try to make sure that you're playing your best basketball in February and March. And you know, to your point, Dima, right now the focus is on being as good as you can be at that point, because that is our access point right now. And, mm-hmm. and we're going to continue to chip away at that as a league and you know, on our campus. But it is an uphill battle right now when you think about access into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Jeremy, very few people would argue, of course, the results on the football field obviously were much better than last year, but I'm always kind of a money guy. Did the success on the field equate the same way at the Southern Miss athletic cash registers?
You know, it was a really good year revenue-wise for us, and, you know, in part because we had success, in part because, you know, our schedules was set up in a way that we had a really, really favorable home schedule as far as attendance and interest, especially early in the year. So, yeah, I think those things paid off for us. I think we've seen some uptick in different ways You know, from a retail standpoint, we've seen an uptick. We saw, you know, an uptick in just people in the building or in the stadium overall. And so, yeah, it was a good year in that regard. Certainly, those are things that we want to continue to improve upon. You mentioned the stadium earlier. Obviously, I would love to fill it up every weekend. We realize that's a challenge right now, and I don't mean on our campus. I mean across the country. So we have to be really smart about how we drive that revenue, how we create those opportunities, and whether it's creating new premium spaces and things that people can enjoy a little bit differently for us. I think it really is about trying to kind of think outside the box. But to answer your question, it was a good year from a revenue standpoint, one of the best years we've had in quite some time.
One thing I think got overlooked, Jeremy, in 2025 a little bit, you tell me if I'm wrong, but that is the success of the golf program and how things really improved once you got that facility built. That's a real success story there, is it not?
It is, and I think it's, of course, the women won the conference championship. The men had a really good year. They're off to a great start. Both of them off to a great start in the fall this year. And I do think it kind of speaks to coaches doing things the right way and running their programs at a high level. Both of those guys do a great job. But adding that facility, the development piece of that, the recruiting opportunities that it creates for us has really kind of allowed us to take the next step. And it kind of goes back to the facility point we made earlier. We have to do all these things we're doing and still remain focused on trying to improve our facilities. The truth is, and I'm not going to say anything that is going to offend anyone or it's going to surprise anyone, we got behind at some point in facilities over about a decade period. And so trying to play catch up is not a lot of fun. And so, but we're continuing to try to chip away. It's basketball now. It's going to be baseball soon. It's going to be, we're investing obviously in golf. We're doing some things at soccer and tennis, and we're trying to continue to chip away. And so, but I think the facility piece is still really important when you talk about building a program the right way. And that is a great example of what kind of impact it can have.
And the good news, Jeremy, is it's 37 days. It's either 37 or 38 till baseball season starts. 30 seconds left. We're all anticipating a really, really good baseball team, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm really excited about what we've seen. I'm excited about our schedule. It's going to be really challenging, as you guys know. It kind of doesn't take long to look at that non-conference schedule and see that. But that's what we want. We want to create an opportunity to put ourselves in a position to be on that national stage and get in that large bid if we don't win the conference tournament. And so, obviously, that's been our plan for several years, and feel like we found a good rhythm with that. But really, the challenging schedule. I like what we've seen from a roster overall. Guys that are coming back and then new faces. Part of my, one of my favorite parts of the year are the first few weeks when we get to see several guys get an opportunity and see who steps up and kind of takes home some important roles for us. And so that'll be fun for me to watch. It's always, the development piece is really fun to see, and I think our baseball program does that as well as anybody.
As always, Jeremy, we really appreciate your time on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Right, Jeremy McClain, everybody. When we come back, we'll analyze this interview and share our thoughts with what we just heard. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
D-Bat sponsors the third segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Great place for baseball, softball training. You know about it. Hardy Street, state-of-the-art facility. Luke Reynolds manages it, and he'd love to see you down there. They'd love to see you at MCS Home Center. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. Available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. Check them out, 7329 Highway 98 West. Is there a nicer guy in the world than Hank Lott who owns MCS Home Center, Kelly?
No, and I think
I don't think so.
Even if you had a leaky roof, they could probably tell you.
Today would be the day you'd know, right?
Yes. I wonder if they could fix it faster.
Yes. And I do want to thank Rex for waking me up at 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, yes.
To tell me about a tornado in Louisiana. That was very grateful to me.
I think it was in Kokomo, which is about 30 miles from my house.
Yes, I know. 6 o'clock. I know.
Yeah, I heard that tornado went through Louisiana and caused $28 worth of damage.
Well, I looked up the I looked at the on the weather and it said a 20 mile an hour storm, and I said, is that a tornado 20 miles an hour?
You had to wake me up at 6 o'clock to tell me this, right? Hey, the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is up and running for you. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. Play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, guys. I want to thank Jeremy McClain for coming in. A couple of things that I took from the conversation and that I appreciate is honesty. No regrets about football, even though it turned out the way it did. No regrets. And January is when we're going to see construction on the basketball arena. What did you guys take from the conversation that jumped out at you, maybe?
Well, I'm glad to know that the plans for the basketball arena will start at the end of this month. No, I'm just kidding. I want to go back to what he said at the end there. I think he was getting into Kelly's point because I think a lot of people might be like, Kelly, why did you ask if he's going to downsize the football stadium, whatever? When he talked about the facilities being behind, and just from my experience, and I really didn't know this until I started covering the team 5 years ago, going around to these other Sun Belt schools, these other Sun Belt stadiums and football and basketball stadiums, baseball stadiums, just from what I've seen from the press box and the box areas, I mean, I'm talking light years better than and I love Southern Miss's press box. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm happy that we have it. I'm happy that Jack Duggan and his staff do a terrific job there. I don't have any complaints
with what they have.
They do well with what they have.
Right.
But the facilities could easily need an upgrade. I mean, it's bottom line. And I think him kind of admitting that was interesting, that we got behind and we're having to play catch up. And in the midst of playing catch up, we're also having to pay for all these college athletes.
It's tough, man. That's a tough task.
Well, the idea about the football stadium is by downsizing it. But one of the things I'd like to see is have every seat be chair backed. Okay. And I know that, there's expense involved. And if you talk to AI chat GPT or whatever, it'll tell you that would reduce current capacity at MM Roberts by about 20%, which would take it down to about 28,000. But if you chair backed all the seats, and it even created a picture
of what it did look good.
It did, yeah, it looked really good with all gold, chair back seats. Just an idea, to make it look better and make seats more at a premium. When there's fewer tickets to be had, you can charge a little bit more for those tickets and sit the games. Well, and come. Or what about naming corporately the stadium like a lot of the other?
I think that's against state law.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's okay. The reason that you haven't.
Well, then the legislators, unless they want to cough up some money, then I think they need to change that law.
They're happy. Ole Miss is doing great.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That's all they care about.
I hardly think they're up there thinking, man, how should we improve Southern Miss's football?
I don't think that's a thought on their mind. Now, he said something toward the end of the interview. We didn't have time to follow up on it, but did I hear him right? He made mention of improvements at the Peat on the horizon?
Yes, and we have heard reports of that what they're wanting to do there. I would expect that to be 5-10 years down the line because I expect it to be about 30 until the Reed Green is done.
Yeah. No, that needs to look, the basketball arena needs to be finished first in my home.
You know how there will be nobody happier in Hattiesburg than Jeremy McClain when they cut the ribbon on that thing.
Oh, you know he will.
Well, part of
he'll probably start crying.
The first thing that has been done or they're in the process of doing is fixing the roof because of the leaks. But one of the other things was to get it strong enough to where it could support a hanging scoreboard, which would have the little TV screens in it, because we're still using the high school scoreboards essentially from...
Right.
Well, Bob, you and Angela, when you dated at Southern Miss 112 years ago...
It looked exactly like it does.
Yeah, so...
Listen, we graduated there, our daughter graduated there, and it's looked exactly the same for everybody.
So. I'll tell you one thing. I don't mean to complain, and this is probably not the number one issue with Reed Green Coliseum, but how much money does it really take to put some barriers up in the urinals? I'm serious. I'm just wondering. It cannot be that much money. I mean, I'm telling you, nobody uses the urinals. When I use the restroom, this is totally weird, I know, but when I use the restroom at Reed Green Coliseum, every single person goes in the stall.
Well, I don't think they really need barriers when they're charging $12 for a Coke. You know, you're not going to have to go to the
bathroom. A couple years ago, there were literally some wooden doors on some of the stalls at the football stadium bathrooms.
Those used to be troughs. You know.
We get it. I mean, it takes money, and if there's no money, it's easy to say what you ought to do if you don't have the money to pay for it, right?
I guess. Right?
And you know, you talk to
doesn't
different.
Seem that hard to me to put
back to what I asked. What do you hear is the long range plan for the Pete?
Oh, well, I mean, at least what I heard, and of course this is nothing confirmed, kind of just speculatory, was that they're going to redo the batting cages on the left side, where that kind of outdated, you know, to beef up recruiting. And then on top of that is where they're going to put some suites up there, is kind of what I heard. And then where the ticket office is, you know, where you're walking into the gate, it's on the right, kind of old. There's like the, there's that there, and then there's the bathrooms there. I think they're going to redo that and then put some more seating right there. Right. You know, that's just speculatory. That's nothing like that. Nothing confirmed, nothing like that. That's just what I initially heard was kind of the.
Here's one thing they could sell, because I do know for a fact there's a pretty long waiting list for suites at baseball.
Yeah.
You could build suites tomorrow and sell them the next day if you could. Build the suites.
I think you've got to be really careful with baseball, though, because right now tickets are at a premium.
Yeah, I'm for maybe increasing suites and things like what you said, the batting cage. I personally would agree with Scott Berry, who said a couple of years ago, I don't want to see a big expansion.
Right.
I'd rather see people scrapping over tickets than to have, you know, 5,000 people there and there's 4,000 empty seats.
Right.
I don't think you're ever going to go up to an 11,000, you know, baseball stadium. Right. You're more talking about extending access because the demand is there. Like there's no question the demand
right now
is there.
There is.
Yeah, but I don't expect for the baseball team to fall off.
Nobody would. But I'm saying realistically, that'll happen at some point. Well, that's the reason I brought up the question about the football stadium. Is because, you know, why not have fewer seats to where tickets are more in demand, the crowd is more intimate, they're on top of the, you know, players instead of being, you know.
You should post that picture that you had created on our Facebook page where people can see it. It is very sharp looking.
It's just an AI image
of what
I don't
it
think they would
like.
Ever make that type of capital investment, like you were saying.
Well,
like
between 100.
Now, I think he mentioned that they were considering putting tarps. I think I heard him right. Did he say tarps?
On the east. Upper deck of the east side.
See, I think that's a terrible idea. Yeah. I think that should not anywhere
You know, the
be
Raiders
near.
Do that in the NFL.
But they put a tarp up on them?
Well, they did. I don't know if they do now.
When they were in L.A.
Yeah, I don't know if they do it now that they moved to
I don't
Las
know.
Vegas.
But again, all according to chat, PT or whatever, every one of those chair back seats would be between $120 and $200. You put in $38,000. It's about mid $4.5 million, you know, to do that.
I just don't think they would do it.
No, and like you said, maybe a lot bigger fish to fry, but I'm just saying that.
Would they take down the upper decks?
Why not?
Probably add another $10 million.
Sounds like Lee Applewhite needs to put in some overtime.
But actually.
Come up with $4.5 million for new seating, Kelly wants.
Actually, with that seating, though, you wouldn't have to tear down. All you're doing is getting rid of the bench seating
and putting chair backs,
which does require more space. So you'd still be using the same space. You would just have fewer seats. Because of the chair
That's
back.
That's kind of what they're doing at the basketball arena.
I think a section of chair backs would actually be the best. Not having the whole stadium be chair backs. But you know what South Alabama does? Like on the home side, that whole side is chair backs. And then on the visitor side, it's benches. You know, benches through the rest of the stadium. I think like having a chair back section and then selling those seats as a priority, premium seating.
There really are no chair backs other than the few in the upper deck, right?
Forgot what the upper deck, but there's no chair backs at all throughout the whole stadium.
But yeah, if you want that picture, Bob, we can post it. See, it's kind of neat.
Dean will know how to do that. He's our internet guru. No, I'm sorry, Kelly. I didn't mean to insult you. I do realize that you're very proficient in all things.
He doesn't even know what it is. What did you just call it?
Electronic.
Chat LOL?
Chat TPG or what is it?
Just stop.
I don't know all that mumbo-jumbo.
Okay, but I will say, we haven't even mentioned this, but man, hell of a football game last night, right?
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. Okay. There's no question about it. That was exciting college football.
That was awesome.
No question
about
it. About
great men's win last night.
I was just going to say hello.
Yeah, we want to talk about that as well, as the men really put it on Texas State in overtime.
They only put it on them in overtime, but that's okay.
No, it was a competitive basketball
game. Yeah, it was.
Game.
Texas State's pretty good, I thought.
I mean, you know when the odds makers have it as a 1.5-point spread either way, you know, that they were expecting a very close game.
Well, I'll say kudos to Jay Ladner. He's got a complete new roster, new coaching staff. They've won 10 games already.
Without their star player.
They're 4-1 in the league. What is there to complain about right now?
Not right now.
We'll review the basketball game and mention the football game as well when we come back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Fourth segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Never guess why. Great place for this weekend. It's going to be a lot of great football this weekend. A good game tonight. Tremendous NFL football all weekend. 4th Street Bar and Grill would be a good place to check that out. Thanks to Genesis of Hattiesburg, Mobe Beignet Company, for joining us every day on the Eagle Hour as well. All right, guys, I tell you, I thought a really solid win for basketball last night. The men are now 10-7, 4-1 in the league. Kelly, they're putting themselves in position here to be in good shape going down the stretch.
And they've got Louisiana Monroe tomorrow, which could put them 5-1.
Yep.
The scheduling gods have smiled upon Southern Miss. And when you take into account that when you look at the Eagles' schedule, they do not play Georgia Southern at all during the regular season, which Georgia Southern appears to be right there with Southern Miss, is at least right now, two of the top teams in the league. So. They'll have to go back on the road again and play some tougher teams, quite frankly.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think they should win tomorrow by all intents and purposes against a struggling ULM team. Really, to me, when we're really going to know, and Scott Watkins said it yesterday, the day before, they all run similar to me, but at Troy next Wednesday will be a telltale sign to me of where this basketball team is. I'm efforting to get Craig Stevenson of AL.com back on the show to talk about South Alabama and Troy. Trying to hear from him on their basketball team. So I think that's going to be a huge game for them.
But we can't agree that right now it's going well.
Dylan Brumfield had a few hiccups. You know, last night had a couple of turnovers that he just lost concentration for a second, had the ball stolen, some easy layups. But there were other times when he took it to the hole and then drew attention, got double teamed, and then passed it off to Izze or anybody else underneath there to get some – Weeks – had another good game underneath. So they're doing just enough.
I like Tyleek Weeks. He's a player. Like him.
So question here, guys. You guys know more about basketball than me. Brumfield, for example, he got his fourth foul last night with about 7-8 minutes left in the game, and normally you immediately bring him out. They left him in the game. Is that a sign of maybe the injury at point guard and the really Brumfield is the guy that has to fill that role until the – injured player gets back?
Yeah, I think so, especially – I'm with you. Normally you get a fourth foul with – I think it was 8.5 – I think it was almost nine minutes.
Yeah, a lot of time left.
Once that happens, you normally come out of the game. You don't come back in the game.
He came
like
off
2 minutes.
Floor. He thought he was coming
right.
out of the game.
Right, and Jay said, no, you're in. So it has to be some death concern there. I mean, outside of him, I mean, I'm trying to think of the roster. Maybe Izze Hart, but – there's not really another ball handler that they have that can consistently move, because Texas State started to press a little bit.
I'll tell you what they really have to be happy about is that you've got your, Isaac Tavares is still injured. He was the guy, right? I mean, he was the guy. So now you don't have the guy, but there's been no sense of panic, and you lose the guy right before conference play, and these are the ones that count. And the other guy, they reshuffled the deck a little bit, and they appear to be no worse for the wear. So if they're playing this well without Tavares, How good are they going to be once he returns, or what is the expectation as to how well Tavares will play once he returns after being out for 5 or 6 weeks?
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Pretty good football game last night between Ole Miss and Miami. We don't obviously cover Ole Miss, but, you know, being a guy from Mississippi, it was pretty cool to see a Mississippi school playing that late in the year. And I thought Herb Street said something at the start of the game that I agreed with him 1,000%. When he said how refreshing this is to have different teams playing in the college playoffs. And you know he was talking about it's not Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State and the Clemson and the same 4 and 5 schools. Do y'all agree? I think it is refreshing to see new schools.
As evidenced by the number of people that went there to cheer for Ole Miss.
And I think that's the one good thing about NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, NIL is the reason Ole Miss is competing. NIL is the reason Miami is competing.
And Indiana.
And I think the 12-team playoff has been a wide success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just some phenomenal games. I expect another terrific game tonight against with Indiana and Mendoza and Cignetti, who I compare Cignetti to the next Nick Saban, basically, of the way he coaches his football team, against Dan Lanning, who, you know, Indiana beat earlier this year out there in the Peach Bowl. And I really think whoever wins that game is going to win the national championship. I don't think Miami really has a chance to beat either of those teams. But I would have thought that if Ole Miss would have won last night. But, yeah, phenomenal football game. You know, I'm really excited to see the future of the playoff and with NIL starting to balance the playing field. Yep.
But you agree, refreshing to see some different schools get to play.
Sure. Yep.
And the Nielsen ratings agree with you too, Bob, because everything is about ratings and money, and the ratings are up between 12% and 17%.
Well, that was pretty electric stuff last night.
Yeah,
man. That was
really, really good
one heck
game.
Of a football game last night.
Who do you like tonight?
I mean, Indiana's the man, and to be the man, as Ric Flair used to say, you got to beat the man. And right now, Indiana's the man. Although it does worry me that they've already beaten Oregon once. That's tough to do.
Oregon's no pushover.
No, I'm going to say I think I like Oregon tonight just because it's so hard to beat a team twice.
Yeah, it is.
And I just think Oregon can press Indiana.
Yeah, but then who would you cheer for? Oregon versus Miami? Yuck.
Mario Cristobal versus my Oregon is a pretty good story, though.
I am right now pulling for Indiana.
Me too.
I'd like to see.
I'm pulling for Southern Miss to beat ULM tomorrow.
Good answer. Let's see if it's up there.
All right. Our thanks to Jeremy McClain. We'll get you a full show coming up next week, and there's always plenty to talk about. We thank you very much for listening. Hope you have a happy, safe, and dry weekend. Until Monday, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. Into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.